97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, and welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hello.
Today, we are... I think we have a great, great show. I think that every week, though. It's just how it's going to be. Today, we're going to be talking about a subject that we get lots of questions regarding. We're talking about detox and actually why you should do a detox.
Right, and how to do it
properly.
You know, properly, smart. You know, a smart and safe detox.
Yes, because
there are a lot of things out there that are a lot of ways to do it that are not smart.
Yeah. And, you know, back in the day, I used to think, oh, detox, I don't know about all that. And then I really got scared because ended up seeing lots and lots of people who tried to do some sort of detox, whatever it was, and they got sicker. And they felt terrible after doing it. And then after learning more and more about it, having lots of experience now with it, I'm like, okay, yeah, now I see why they got so sick when they did this stuff.
Right.
Because they did too much too quickly.
Right. Well, and there are a lot of different problems that people make. But I can't, we can't stress enough how often people come in. And when people aren't feeling good, one of the things it seems like, especially nowadays, they go to is detox, right?
Right.
There's so much information out there. And I... Really, we can't stress enough how often we have to fix the problems that were caused by someone trying to detox off of information that they found on the internet.
Yep. Or the interwebs are not your place to find information.
There's some really bad information out there. And especially, even when it's not necessarily bad information, because it worked for one person does not mean it's going to work for you.
Right. And there's bad information out there. And this is the thing. I think people go and they're like, oh, this website's really great. This is this person. And I mean, it takes $100 and, you know, a couple of hours to make a website look really, really nice and make it look very professional. And anybody can write anything up there. And so what we end up with is we see, you know, people that have zero education giving advice to what people should be doing to detoxify their body. And it's just, it's unfortunate.
It's hard and it's difficult for us. I mean, we see this a lot, like with Facebook and Instagram, where people will be following someone and they'll say, well, they did it and it worked really well.
Fake news.
And first of all, we're like, they have no qualifications to be telling you what detox to
right.
do. Number two, there are a lot of times where we look at what the program is they're suggesting and we're like, guarantee you that didn't work.
Right.
So probably this person is getting paid to try to get people to do this detox.
Right.
So, I mean, there's so many reasons why it is not smart to just go out and jump on the detox bandwagon if you don't know what you're doing, which is why we were prompted to do the show.
Right. Yeah. We get emails relatively frequently, not necessarily daily, but close enough to say, all right, we've got to do a show on detox because we get too many questions regarding this. And lots of people write us and, you know, it's I feel bad. I feel like crap. It's like a syndrome. I feel like crap syndrome. They feel terrible and, you know, they complain, oh, well, I'm tired, my head hurts, my joints ache, it's this mysterious migrating pain, some days it's my shoulder, some days it's my knee, I've got asthma, you know, my face is breaking out, I've got irritable bowel.
Reflux.
Yeah, acid reflux, gosh, we had lots of GERD. And so, unfortunately, for a lot of these people, yeah, detox can help a ton. It can help a lot of symptomatology. It's just got to be done smart.
The bad thing is if you have all these things going on and you do a program that is not tailored to you, you can do a lot of damage because you're having these symptoms because something's going on, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like you're going through a detox program on a healthy body.
Right.
You're not, or you wouldn't be having these symptoms. And so, while detox can be a really smart thing to do, yeah, like we said, they're just you've got to be smart about it.
Right. That's exactly right. So, like, a lot of times detox, what people are trying to do with that when they say the word detox, for those of you out there, like, I don't really know what you're talking about with detox. I don't understand it. basically, it's just, it's not just necessarily trying to get things out of the system. It's not necessarily detoxifying the system. Sometimes a detox can be, you know, just taking a break from things. You know, we do a lot of stuff in the office. We make recommendations. I'm amazed at the number of people that drink alcohol every single day, right? Tons of people come to us and they have alcohol literally every day of the week. Either they're having wine at dinner or they have a couple of drinks when they get home from work, whatever it is. That's a just not drinking alcohol for 2 or 3 days a week can be a detox in and of itself. It's just giving yourself a mini vacation and a break. Traditionally, though, detox is it's for like things like sugar. Like we got to detoxify and get sugar out of our system. So they eliminate everything that they could possibly can with that. And then, you know, oftentimes they're drinking some god-awful tasting, you know, drink that's supposed to clean things out and cleanse stuff. That may or may not work for you. In our experience, most of the time it doesn't work. But the key to the detox isn't just the getting the stuff out. It's putting good stuff back in, right? And we'll talk about this later in the show. There are things that you can do where you actually put all of this stuff back in. You detox not by just you know, completely eliminating this stuff and taking some nasty drink. You detox by replacing one food with another. That can be a detox in and of itself. And we're going to talk more about that later. But detoxes, they can help you lose weight, right? You can lose weight, your energy can get better, your sleep can improve, mood gets better. I mean, obviously, if somebody's sleeping better and their energy level goes up, mood is going to go up too, right? Things like joint pain that I was talking about earlier, the digestive stuff like IBS, headaches, foggy brain, confusion, memory stuff, just the slight stuff, you know, can all be helped or maybe even disappear when someone goes through and does a detox, right? I mean, this is one of the big things. And another thing that we actually have seen occasionally, doesn't happen often, but it does happen, is we'll have men especially whose, you know, libido will increase after doing a detox. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. It has to do with the body's ability to, you know, deal with sugar. Sugar drops libido, but it also has to do with, you know, a dirty system can't make hormones very well. And so we can have low levels of testosterone and things because we're just toxic and things just aren't working the way that they were supposed to, right? So let's talk a little bit about some of these, you know, benefits of detoxification and look at them a little more. These are like big reasons that people want to detox. And the first of those is I want to feel better. And I mentioned that just a second ago, right? So if you're doing a detox because you want to wake up and, you know, be wide awake, you know, when the alarm clock goes off and you're not hitting snooze 50 times to get out of bed, you know, when you're setting your alarm clock, you got to be up at 6:30 and you're setting your alarm clock for 5:15 so you can get out of bed at 6:30. You're not doing yourself any service whatsoever. You're actually doing yourself a disservice. So if you're wanting to do things like wake up, you know, feeling vital, vibrant, alive, and all this stuff, you definitely want to do a detox, right? If you're, you know, even if you're thin, this isn't for just like people that are overweight. These are for, you know, people that are thin as well. And, you know, thin people can have symptoms of being toxic. Thin people have brain fog and body aches and pains and digestive upsets and things like that. I mean, most of us don't really put together, you know, what we're eating with how we're feeling, especially when we put together things, you know, we don't put together things like body aches and pains or headaches with food that we eat. If it didn't create a problem immediately after eating, then we think that we don't associate it with food.
Right. No, exactly. And I think that it's, you know, we talk about this and we're going to get into how to, you know, do a smart detox later in the show. But I think it makes sense where if people are having these symptoms like fatigue, brain fog, you know, digestive issues, all of these things that we talked about before, you know, headaches, a detox is a good place to start. And that's why we really wanted to do a show on it, because it's not a bad choice if someone, you know, doesn't have the money to do the testing to find exactly, you right. find out exactly what's going on, because it's something that can give you relief, even if it's just in the short term, kind of, you know, reset your body and get it, you know, to try to start functioning normally again. And sometimes that's all a person needs. I mean, if you can detox and then your body's like, oh, okay, you know, reset, and now I'm okay. You know, I mean, a lot of times...
But that's not a hall pass to just go out and eat like crap again.
No, this is your time to like, okay, you know, we're resetting it, and now, you know, I'm going to treat my body better, or you're just going to be in this constant cycle of detox and then binge.
Right.
Detox and then binge. And it's not going to really actually do you any good.
That's like getting drunk and then sobering up for a couple hours and then getting drunk again. Seriously, it's not really doing us any good. If we're gonna sober up, let's sober up. If we're gonna clean up our diet and detoxify, let's not put all the crap back in our system. Because trust me, you don't need me behind a microphone to sit here and tell you what you should and shouldn't be eating. You already know that you should not be eating tons of sugar.
Yeah.
You know that you shouldn't be drinking, you know, 2 liters of Mountain Dew every day. You know that you shouldn't be, you know, having donuts for breakfast.
Right. We've said that before. Like, you know, people will say, I need to get more calcium in my diet. Is it, you know, what's the best way to do that? And because I'm not feeling the best. And we're like, why don't you start with quitting eating donuts for breakfast
right.
every single morning? I mean, like, you're getting
or
into like the very specifics of like, what, you know, is this better or this better? It's like,
right.
I mean,
is a donut better, or should I get a calcium fortified donut? I don't know. Well, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other benefits of detoxification. You're listening to Wellness One. And welcome back, everyone. So today on the show, we are talking about detox and why you should detox, whether or not you should detox, et cetera. And
right.
we're fans of it. I think it's great if done properly.
Yes. And right now we've only gone through one so far, but, you know, we could literally talk about like thousands of benefits of detoxification, but we've pulled just a few out
right.
that we wanted to make sure that we talked about. And the first one we talked about in the last segment was that you're going to feel better.
That's
if you
right.
detox, I mean, you will feel better. And most people, I mean, when they come to see us, you know, they just get to the point where they're like, I will do whatever. I just want to feel better.
Right.
And that's why, you know, we were talking about this is a good thing for people to be able to do on their own. We're going to, you know, kind of walk you through how to do a smart detox, but it's something that you don't have to go in and see a doctor, because
right.
we get really frustrated. I know we've probably talked on this before, and I kind of get up on my soapbox, but I get frustrated when I hear people come in and they say they've gone to like an alternative medicine practitioner or a functional medicine, someone claiming to be functional medicine, and they will just tell them, you know, change what you eat, or they'll put them on some sort of detox. And I'm like, we could have just given you that information for free. Like, it's not tailored to
them. Tune into Wellness 101
right.
Sundays at 3.
And that's really what we are trying to do with this show. We're like, there are so many things that unfortunately we can't give advice on until we know what's going on with a specific person.
Right.
But the things that we can, that's why we have this radio show. Because you shouldn't have to be paying for the, you know, that kind of information that should be available to you. I just don't feel like it's, you know... That's not what functional medicine is. And
right.
I think that, you know, functional medicine sometimes gets confused with just being healthy.
Common sense.
Right. So we're going to give you the common sense part for free.
Yeah. So another benefit of detoxing or detoxification would be losing weight, right? So one thing that really frustrates me is this whole calories in, calories out model. It doesn't work. It's not true. That's, you know, if you eat less calories and, you know, then or if you burn more calories in a day than you consume, you will lose weight. Well, that's not true, because that's saying that all calories are equal, and all calories are not equal. In a lab, all calories are equal, but in a human body, all calories are not equal. The body utilizes sugar from a teaspoon of table sugar much differently than it utilizes fat from grass-fed meat, right? Or sugar from fruit, right? From a strawberry. Human body uses things this completely different. So not all calories are equal. So,
well, and I think that's something that, you know, even Weight Watchers has, like, you know, we talked about that.
Oh, yeah, they changed their name.
Yeah. I don't remember what they changed it.
I don't know.
It's not Weight Watchers anymore. But it's
Weight Watchers.
But the whole problem is that for the longest time, they were saying, you know, teaching you to just count calories. And finally, I think, you know, they wised up.
Well, then they tried to go from calories to points. And so you base this thing on a point system. Well, I eat a 1 point or a 2 point because counting to 300 or 400 is too hard.
So, I mean, and I give them credit for trying to make it easier for people. And I do think, I mean, I'm definitely not bashing on Weight Watchers because I know a lot of people that learned through Weight Watchers that, you know, kind of what the calorie content was of, you know, certain foods. There were certain foods that they always thought were healthy. And then through Weight Watchers, they were like, wow, I didn't know that I shouldn't be, you know. And so I do think there have been some benefits to it for people. But it's, you know, it used a calorie in, calorie out model. And for a long time, it's changed it now.
They're changing. I don't know if it's completely changed, but they're at least.
But they've learned that that doesn't work.
Right. They're adding in a whole body aspect
to
this.
And we've actually had a number of patients that come in and are like, yeah, I used to do Weight Watchers. Then they changed it. And I was able to follow it when it was just, you know, if I wanted to have cookies or something, I could. I just, you know, I had to watch what I ate the rest of the day. And we're like, okay. But if you can't, like,
and,
just.
And you're still 200 pounds overweight.
Right. There's a reason
and
it
you
doesn't
have
work.
Been.
I mean,
and you're frustrated.
And maybe you lost weight for a short period of time, but it wasn't sustainable. It just, there are a lot of problems with that. So,
right. And a lot of it has to, I mean, the calories are different. Like sugar and flour, they trigger your body to, you know, into addiction and to overeating. They cause your body to secrete tons of insulin, and then that causes a lot of inflammation. Period. That's what it does. It's dry leaves on a fire. That's what sugar and white flour does. It's literally, if you had a fire going, you threw dry leaves on it, that's what you're doing when you put sugar and white flour in the body. You're just adding to the inflammatory
process. A really good example of this is artificial sweeteners that we've talked on here before.
Yeah.
Because generally no calories, right?
Right.
But they are horrible for you from a biological standpoint. I mean, in like on a physiological standpoint, what it's actually doing to the body, because you're going to be craving sugar more. So, I mean, it's a really good example of the fact that zero calories does not mean healthier. I mean, it really can have much harmful effects than if you were eating just pure sugar.
Right.
Which isn't a good idea either.
Yeah, that's, we're not recommending that either. At least not today.
Right.
That's the thing. And if you detoxify, you cut the sugars out of your diet, you're going to lose weight, especially when you start realizing that the average American consumes like over a pound of sugar and over a pound of flour every day or something like that. It's insane. It's like 150 pounds of sugar a year and like 100 pounds of flour a year is what's consumed. That's like a pound a day of sugar and flour. It's just insane how much we're consuming, and we're wondering why we're gaining weight. You detoxify off that stuff and eliminate that from your diet, you will lose weight, right? And then another one is, so another benefit of detoxification is by detoxifying, you basically cut cravings. I mean, we all know people that, or if you may be one yourself, that you just crave certain foods. Like, I have to have my daily chocolate. I have to have my, you know, sweets or my dessert after a meal. There's these cravings that are, you know, that happen to us, right? And so.
Right. Well, we know sugar and flour are biologically addictive.
Right.
I mean, they are.
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, when we look at someone who's overweight and then we blame that person that's overweight for being lazy, it's not that I don't believe that's true at all. People don't choose to be overweight because they want to. People get overweight because they get in a rut and they can't figure out how to break the cycle. And then when they do the things that they think are breaking the cycle, it just makes the problem worse.
Right. And then they go online and they hear all these people saying, oh, just do this. And it's wrong and it makes it worse.
Yeah.
And it, you know, we've done things on here before about food addiction and, you know, why people can't lose weight. And we really try to stress this because I hate the fact that there's so much shame and guilt that is, you know, attributed to, you know, carrying too much weight. And I have a lot of times people said to me, you know, well, you know, you just don't, eat whatever you're craving, where I don't do as good job. You must have better willpower. No, I literally don't have those cravings. And right. I can't stress that enough. Yeah. And it's because of my diet. I've gone through periods where I did. When I was sick, before I had all of my health issues figured out, I craved that stuff. I craved cereal. I mean, basically any sort of carb. You know, I craved sugar and I craved carbs. And it, I didn't want anything else. Everything else tasted horrible. But now that I'm like doing what I need to do for my body, I don't have to worry about cravings. So, right. I mean, if you're in this cycle of, you know, I'm trying not to like, just give in to my cravings and eat these things that I know I shouldn't eat, you're already looking at this incorrectly.
Right.
I mean, and a detox can help with that.
Well, and the food industry is not helping you.
Food industry is definitely against you on this.
Right. There's a book out there called Salt, Sugar, Fat. This guy wrote this book, and he explained in the book that the food industry, different aspects of the food industry, they hire craving experts. So what they do is they take junk food like chips and things like that, and they help the company create this call it a sweet spot. It's basically a sweet spot of flavor where there's just the right balance of salt, sugar, and fat that causes your body to crave more of it. Remember the old potato chip commercial? You can't eat just one. They're right. That's because they've got it fine tuned. They know exactly how much flavor needs to be there in the form of salt, sugar, and fat. And I mean, it creates this just nasty craving in the system.
Right. Well, and we talked about, you know, just recently we had a lady come in with a 6-year-old who is going through this, and he's having to go through a detox. A 6-year-old with, you know, yeast overgrowth, yep, all sorts of issues. And she's a single mother, and she's like, you know, we're like, he needs to quit eating processed foods. He needs to break, you know, quit eating sugar. She's like, I can't get him to eat anything else. And, you know, and she's like, I know that I'm the problem. I mean, you know, she's like, she works full time. She's, you know, doing the best she can with him. And so we've really been trying to work with her to get it under control. But it's hard. I mean, he's a kid. I say it's hard. She's doing an amazing job.
We're already seeing benefits. It's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah. But I want to say like this, you know, to those of you listening, this isn't just an adult problem. This can be a kid problem. And I think that like, and if you have kids that are having, you know, like.
If you have a picky eater. That's what you have going on.
Yes.
You
or
have a
if they're
problem.
Sensitive to smells. We hear that a lot. Like they yep. think that things don't smell good. They won't even try new foods. But also, you know, discipline issues, trouble paying attention, you know, all sorts of, you know, issues that with kids that will benefit from just going on a detox.
Right.
And you won't have to worry about those issues anymore. Good
right.
thing we're doing this after Halloween, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's its own thing. It's sugar overload. Like we could tell you all kinds of stories about people, you know, whose kids eat sugar and have crazy reactions because of it. All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, we are going to talk about a couple more of these benefits of doing a detox, and then we're going to get into explaining like how to do this correctly and all the benefits that you can get from it if you do this thing, if you do a detoxification correctly. You're listening to Wellness One. Hey, and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in to the show today we have been talking about why you should detox and the benefits of it. And we're kind of going through some benefits of doing a detox. And we talked about one of them is you can feel better. Two, you can lose weight. Three, you can decrease cravings. And that's kind of all we got through because we get sidetracked. And so we've got a couple more that we want to talk about. One of those is you can eliminate food sensitivities. So by detoxifying off of certain foods, you can, you know, if you're eating foods that you're sensitive to, you can be creating inflammation in your system. And when you detox off of just general foods that create inflammation, like sugars and things like that, you can decrease your level of inflammation. And so we tell a lot of people when they're going through a detox to also, hey, cut out gluten and dairy when you're doing this detox.
Right. They're two of the most common food sensitivities.
Very common food sensitivities. And so we list out, you know, all the things that are like things like dairy. Dairy is, you know, milk, butter, cheese, ice cream, yogurt, all of that stuff. And you eliminate that. And people realize after they do, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks of a detox and cut that out of their diet, that they feel tons better. And so that's when that's just giving you an idea that that's probably an issue for you. And so by eliminating these foods and detoxifying your system, you can eliminate some of these food sensitivities that you have. So it's a great thing to do. You know, we're not talking about true allergies like shellfish and peanuts and stuff like that. This is sensitivities, which are different. We've talked about sensitivities on this show a ton, right? Next on the list is you can basically get a reboot. It's like a system reset. You're turning the power button off on your computer and, you know, allowing your system to calm down and then come back online. And when you do that and you take away all these foods that you shouldn't be eating, I alluded to it earlier in the show, you don't want to just detox, do a cleanse or a detox, and then just go right back to your same old eating patterns. That gives you an opportunity to say, okay, I'm going to not drink a 2 liter of Mountain Dew every single day. I'm going to not do these certain things that I know that I shouldn't be doing. I'm going to instead incorporate more fruits, more vegetables, more lean, healthy meats into my diet, more nuts. My snacks are going to be different. I'm not going to eat a candy bar anymore. I'm going to eat, you know, some broccoli or whatever it is that you're going to do. It's just a shift, and it allows your system to just completely reinvent itself, right? And you'd be amazed at the number of people that do that, and they're like, holy cow, I feel better with just doing that. We see it. It's something that truly does happen. And then another one that we see this one a lot, and we see it because we ask about it because we do lots of hormone replacement therapy in our office. But you actually have better sex. We talk about it in our office visits all the time. We talk about libido, and I'm still amazed every time, but I'm not surprised when people report to us that they basically have no libido whatsoever. They have no desire for sex at all.
Well, and a lot of people believe like that just happens as you age.
Yeah, just happens as you age. Take a Viagra and everything will be fine. And then we get to the point that it doesn't work.
Once you reach a certain age, you have to go on Viagra. I mean, like so many people just assume that that's a normal part of aging. It's not.
It is not. And in fact, you start taking things like Viagra, yeah, that further causes the libido to go down. So it gets worse.
You become dependent on it.
That's exactly right. You become dependent. And then it creates a whole bunch of other problems downstream after you become dependent on it. I mean, doing things, you know, if we're drinking too much, if you're smoking, eating too much sugar, those are all things that decrease libido. And so if you're detoxifying and you're decreasing or eliminating those things, of course your sex drive is going to improve, right? So there are a lot of benefits with that. I mean, we see it a ton. And don't worry, we're going to do hormones. We're going to do probably several shows on hormones and hormone replacement. We've just had too many people ask about it. It's become a huge part of our practice, and you know it's great, and people love it once you get these things balanced out, and the hormone replacement is done properly. Far too often, we have people that have been put on something and they're on it for years, and it's not helping.
Yes, or they're put on hormones before they've had their underlying issues fixed.
Correct.
And you cannot throw hormones on top of an underlying problem. And a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of doctors that do hormone replacement don't test you for things that need to be tested for first.
Right.
So then they throw hormones on top of it to make your hormones seem like they're doing better. But eventually that will all crash because it's like a shaky foundation. You didn't build up the foundation, and it's a house of cards. And so, I mean, you might help in the very short term, but you're hurting yourself at the long run. And that's why we, you know, our hormone practice has grown so much, because people are feeling good years and years later.
Right.
So it makes a huge difference.
It does. It makes a huge difference.
Because hormone replacement therapy, I mean, I know we've said this before, it's a great treatment, but any great treatment in the wrong hands can be worse than no treatment at all.
Woo-hoo, you can't hit ever.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Oh, buddy. We've seen it.
We've seen a lot of people that have come in and have claimed, you know, that they spent a ton of money, and we're like, you're actually worse than if you had just sat at home and done nothing.
And they feel like they're like, I'm here because they're my last hope. You're the last place that I'm going to go to turn. I'm like, well, why weren't you your first choice? And a lot of them say, well, I didn't know that you existed.
Right. And that's shameless plug for us. I just want to say, if you are listening to this, we have had so many people who have said, you know, I actually came to see you because somebody told me about your radio show, or I saw somebody, you know, shared a post of yours on Facebook or something.
Right.
So those of you who are doing that for us,
thank you.
Just know, thank you, and know that it's a benefit, because we have had so many people who are like, you know, I don't even know who I saw that from. You know, I mean, they can't even attribute it back, but somebody decided to share, you know, our information, and it's slowly the word is getting out, and we appreciate it.
Yeah. The word's getting out across the country.
Right.
I mean, we get people from all over the country.
And the world.
We have some around the world, too. But, it's crazy. So thank you for those of you out there who are sharing the information. So you have better sex. We covered that one. Another one is you can actually get down to roots of who you are, what motivates you to be you. So if you detoxify, basically, you're going to become more in tune with yourself and examine yourself introspectively, and you're going to see that you're doing things before the detoxification wasn't allowing you to be the best you could be. I know there's a lot of yous in that word or in that sentence, but it's true. And, you know, that takes me to, I think, and this is a shameless plug for Apple. So if you want to send me a watch and you're listening, go right ahead.
Because they probably are.
They are. I know they are. Me and Zuckerberg are buddies, right? The Apple Watch commercial where the guy is sitting on the couch and he sees himself come in and sit down and look at himself. And then he's just like, wait, we're getting up to run? And so he gets up and he starts running. And then the guy starts to slow down and he runs past himself. And he's like, okay, I've got to keep going. It's like he's realizing that he can be better. And it's a great, great commercial. I watch a lot of commercials because I'm very intrigued in marketing or by marketing and how these things, you know, large companies, very successful companies like Apple. I mean, that's a genius commercial.
Well, yeah, that and the fact that, like we said, I mean, we're constantly hearing, I didn't know you existed. So we're like, clearly we're not doing something right.
We're not doing right. you spend a few million dollars and create a cool ad like the Apple Watch commercial. But it's true. And I know that almost all of you out there have seen that commercial. And it's fantastic. And that's exactly what doing a detox can do for you. It allows, like we said before, allows your system to reboot. You look at yourself and you realize that you're not being the best you that's possible. And can start to shift and change.
And like we said, I mean, this is a good thing for those of you. I know there are a lot of you who listen to our show and are like, you know, I can't actually afford right now to come in and see you. We know that. We get your emails. We respond to your emails. And, you know, I mean, but this is why we try to do these shows of things that you can do on your own.
Right.
And see if it makes a difference, because it might make us enough of a difference that you're like, you know what, I'm good.
Right.
And, you know, and hopefully things are fine. I mean, we know that it's not, you know, not everybody has the resources to be able to get fully tested. But there are things that you can do that can make a big difference.
Right. And it's like smoking. You know, people have money for the things that they want to spend money on always. And smokers, it's a bad habit. And I understand it's very difficult to break. But once you get yourself off of cigarettes, people that are smoking a pack a day are spending $2,000 a year on cigarettes, at least. Sometimes four, depending on where you are in the country, because cigarettes are somewhere between $5 and $10 a pack, right? So, I mean, there's just, the money is there if you just make the right choices. And you know it, and I know it, we all know it, because I have this, I do the same thing. I have money for the stuff that I want to buy. Sometimes I don't necessarily spend the money on what I need, right?
We've all had. That's where I come in.
Yes, that's where Aaron comes in.
Because I am not that way. But I've said this on the show before, when I was really, really sick, and, you know, not that I necessarily advocate for this, but I had to get my health care on credit and then pay that credit off once I was better. Like, that's not a great way to do it, but you know what? You do what you need to do. Health has to come first,
right?
Or you're never going to get ahead in life. If you're not feeling good, you're tired, you're achy, you're not going to be that productive. You've got to fix your health first.
Right.
I mean, it's just the way it is.
Self-care is not selfish.
No.
At all.
It's necessary.
That's right. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the ways to detoxify smartly. You're listening to Wellness One. Hey, and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in today, we have been talking about ADD and ADHD. And for the most of the show, we've been talking about a case study, a young man, a 12-year-old young man that came through our office and his host of issues. And before the break, we were talking about the things that we found on him that he was deficient in, the nutrients that he was deficient in, the fact that he had some digestive imbalances. And just continuing on with that, and then we'll get into like how his results were and what happened with this young man. So he was unable to detoxify. So he had some metal toxicity. He had high levels of mercury and lead in his system. And his exposure was really not much different than other kids his age. He was just unable to detoxify this. So he had this phenomenon taking place in him called bioaccumulation, where you accumulate a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and you're not able to get the stuff out of your system. And this happens to a lot of us. That we find that people just aren't able to get rid of this stuff. And so mercury itself has been, you know, tied to a lot of issues, GI problems, autoimmune condition, cognitive problems. And lead toxicity is the same thing. And lead toxicity can be extremely important because lead is a massive endocrine disruptor, meaning it messes up hormones. And for a young man, this is really hard because it can really mess up testosterone and development of male characteristics. And I mean, the world that we live in is polluted, but we still can, you know, there are things that we can do to decrease our load. So I'm not going to hammer too much on that because I know you want to know like how this young man did. So really, the treatment was relatively simple for him. He's 12.
Right, kids, disarmingly simple, I think.
Yeah, kids respond very quickly when we know what we're attacking and we know what they need. And so we just basically went back to the basics and said, okay, we have to remove all of these things that are irritating his system. So mama followed his food sensitivity testing to a T. She didn't let him have anything that wasn't on his results. Now, it was tough, and she'll admit it was tough for the first couple of weeks.
And also, I mean, like with everyone, there were a few hiccups in there because, you know, she's like, I found out afterwards that I had given him this and I didn't know, you know, I mean, it happens almost every time when people have food sensitivities that they realize, oh, wait, I didn't, you know, I forgot to look in the ingredients on this one thing because I didn't think there was any way that that would have, you know, yeast in it or whatever it happens to be. So,
right.
But in general, she was one of the most compliant that, you know, because she was able to do it for him. So he didn't have access to a lot of the foods that he wanted to eat.
Right. And so because she didn't bring it into the house, he didn't have it. And that was that. It was pretty simple. And so then she started putting the nutrients back. So we recommended some supplements for her and put some of these nutrients back into this kid. And it was the results, they're astounding, but they're also typical of what we see, right? So they were extremely diligent. When they came in for their 2-month visit, mom was practically crying. I mean, we walked in and we always keep a box of tissues at our consultation room because people get frustrated or overwhelmed, and these were tears of joy, and it was really an awesome thing to see. So she explained how diligent they were and how they made sure that they were going to follow everything exact. And so after a couple of months, when he came back in after a couple of months.
And I just want to say that it's this was a quick change. You know, the change itself is typical, but it was so quick with him.
Yeah.
Because she was so diligent, and you know, as soon as she found out, she eliminated everything he wasn't. I mean, period.
She literally told us she went home and threw out stuff. She's like, I can't tell you how many dollars worth of food I just threw out and gave somewhere else.
To do that, and we, you know, we tell patients, listen, this can be a transition, because we're not going to tell you after, you know, paying for the testing and stuff that, you know, you can't eat that food if you want to. Now, we do certainly have patients who are like, I can't eat it anymore when I know that it's basically killing me.
Right.
But she was one of them that said, nope, it all went.
Right.
So
after 2 months, the most astounding thing to me, he had discontinued all of his medications. He was no longer on Ritalin. He wasn't taking his two antihistamines. He wasn't taking his asthma medications. He wasn't taking Tylenol. He wasn't taking Advil. He wasn't taking anything, right? His mood and his behavior had came back to what you would normally expect in a 12-year-old boy. Even his teachers were commenting to his parents that, writing to mom and saying, hey, guess what? What's going on with him? He is a completely changed young man.
Well, and you brought up writing. And one of the really big things was his writing improved so much. He actually wrote a thank you note to us, which we were just like, TJ's like, I was about to cry.
I know.
Because he couldn't, you know, that when they had first brought it in, I mean, his mom had shown TJ, I mean, he's 12 years old and you can't read what he writes.
Right.
And this was something that, you know, you could actually read what he was writing. And that's in 2 months.
Right. And all of that list of symptoms that I said, hang with me, we're going to, you know, I'm going to list all the things that he had going on, gone. He didn't have asthma. His runny nose was gone. He didn't have stomach aches anymore. His nausea, his diarrhea, all of it, muscle cramping, everything. But another big piece, and he was so excited, he was able to fall asleep and then sleep through the night. So this kid was not only putting the nutrition back in his body, he was balancing out everything. His body knew what to do. He just needed the tools to be able to do it.
And you could tell the difference in his self-esteem because he was able to, you know, get things done in class. And he was able to, you know, he was no longer the bad kid.
Right.
And that changes how a child looks at themselves.
Right. I mean, this will impact this kid's life from here on out, because instead of being thinking that he's a bad kid, because everyone tells him you're a troubled kid, you're bad because you don't pay attention in school and you're disruptive and all these things, and all the other little kids are like, well, we can't sit next to this little boy because he's disruptive. It completely changes his outlook. He's going to be infinitely more successful in the future because his mom was able to find us and make a change and move things
in
the right
direction. And I know I brought this up before, but it was not, you know, I mean, yes, he was labeled before, but not because the parents didn't care. I mean, they really were trying to help. They just thought, okay, well, this is what he has, and so we're going to do what we can to treat it. And it just was that the treatment was medication, and the medication was making it worse.
Right. So hopefully, you know, through his story, you know, out there in listener land, you're maybe going to be able to implement some of these things, or at least look for someone in your area that can help you, you know.
Do you want to run through really
this
quick, like some tips for them too, that they can do? Like,
we can do a couple. So eat real food. Don't have a label on your food, right? Meat, vegetables, get rid of food sensitivities, get yourself tested, figure this stuff out. Find out what nutrients you're deficient in. Extremely important. Fix your gut. People's gut dysfunction is rampant. Eat as an anti-inflammatory diet. It's super simple. You just type in to Google anti-inflammatory diet and you're going to get all kinds of stuff. But follow your food sensitivity too. And get as many antioxidants as you can. Foods that are high in antioxidants, and detoxify, detoxify, detoxify. We've done shows on detoxification. Make sure you get rid of that stuff. So those are some things that you can do, and you can see results just like this. Okay? That's about all the time we've got for today's show. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you want more information, go to our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, send us emails, call us 314-293-8123. We love to hear from you. We love to hear your success stories, and we will help you in whatever way we can. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness One. Thanks for listening.
Get more at 971talk.com.